Welcome to Creative Maine, an hour-long monthly program produced for and broadcast by Community Radio WERU, 89.9 FM Blue Hill, and at weru.org. This show considers the making of craft, fine art, food, literature, music, dance, museums, and any other form of creative expression here in Maine. We also discuss topics of global cultural significance and interest. My name is Adina Salmonson, and I am your host for this monthly exploration of all things creative. Should you have comments, questions, input, or suggestions for the show, send them to info@weru.org. Please list Creative Maine in the subject line. As a lifelong musician and crafter, I am thrilled to be presenting my areas of interest and passion to you on our wonderful community radio station right here in my Orland backyard. On today's episode, we meet many of Maine's most creative artists and business folks discovered at the Common Ground Fair earlier this month. We will speak to Sam Bartlett of Liberty Graphics Nature Tees, Kat Jordan of Kitty Lamb, and a number of vendors encountered while out and about at the fair. Welcome, Sam Bartlett, to Creative Maine. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to speak with us at Creative Maine. You are the art director and marketing manager of Liberty Graphics Nature T-shirt, a creative and unusual business. We met at the Common Ground Fair, where you were selling beautiful and unique shirts that are beloved at the Common Ground Fair. And I do believe, tell me if I'm wrong, that the actual Common Ground Fair T-shirts are Liberty Graphics shirts.
Yes.
So tell us a bit about Liberty Graphics and yourself and the origin story and the company itself.
So Liberty Graphics actually started by selling T-shirts at fairs back in the 1970s. And it progressed from there to selling wholesale to a lot of Maine stores. The Grasshopper Shop was one of the first customers. Mm-hmm. It's been around for a long time. And it progressed into selling shirts all over the country and even into Europe and Japan and such things. So we've been in business then for more than 45 years. So Liberty Graphics expanded and we got to a point where we have automatic printing presses and things, but we still do a traditional screen printing process rather than a digital print and some of the more modern ways that people get images onto shirts. So it's really an artistic process of taking a piece of art and translating it into screen printing. So that process is still the same, and it still gives our product a very distinct quality. Mm-hmm. And we have only ever used water-based inks to print with, so it's much easier on the environment. It makes very nice quality soft product print on the shirt itself, but it also creates a much nicer work environment than some of the places that have to use more chemicals and things in their inks and the cleanup. So that has been a traditional thing since the beginning. And part of that process was about 5 years ago, our previous owner decided he was getting to a point where he'd like to retire. So the employees of Liberty Graphics actually worked out a way to buy the company from him. Mm-hmm. So since then, a lot of us, more than half of us, are owners and have been working really hard to figure out how to work together to create a company that benefits all both the owners and the employees, but also is, you know, sustainable in the sense that if we can both work here and own the company at the same time.
Wonderful business model. And I know a number of other companies that are going in that direction, which is fabulous.
Yes. And we've appreciated the help of CDI, which is Cooperative Development Institute. They really have helped us make that transition really work. So if anybody's interested in employee ownership, they're a great place to start. But that, so we've created a nice company where we have a lot of individuals very invested in creating a good quality product. As the name says, we're focused on nature t-shirts. So all the art that we process through and everything wants to stay focused on the natural world. It gives us, when you look at art, all the art that's out there, it's nice to be able to focus it down a little bit. So it makes it a little easier in choosing the art to know that we want natural world images that really inspire people to appreciate nature, and it allows you to express, you know, that you like to go for hikes, or you like to go kayaking, or, you know, you'd like to meet a grizzly bear sometime, but maybe from a little bit of a distance. So that's what the focus of Liberty Graphics has really been since the very beginning. Our intention is to continue that and to allow it to expand as much as we can, helping other companies have good products that are natural world oriented.
That's great. I mean, you said that the printing is water-based. Where did I see that it's printed with plant-based inks? Is that correct?
Well, the water-based inks are soy-based, inks themselves, but some of the other types of inks can also have soy in them, but the chemical, the binders and things that they use for them can be more plastic-based. So our inks are soy, made from soy, but the process for cleaning up after them and how they're water-based, as far as, like, you know, the difference between you're painting your house using a water-based paint versus an oil-based paint, that type of thing.
Sure. So the solvents aren't as caustic and so forth.
There are no solvents. The solvents are water. There's more chemical-based solvents in the other processes and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. So who creates these gorgeous designs? I know that you're the art director. Are you an artist? Do you wrangle artists? So who creates your beautiful t-shirt designs?
Both of those statements are true. I've done several designs over the years. A couple of them are still in our line. We like to find the best art we can. So some of our designs have been in the line for 25 years. So we're really looking for good quality art. So we will work with any artist that has that quality that fits our need and our niche. So, but right now we work with both local artists. A couple of the other people that work here have done designs for us, as well as people who live in the area. But we are also working with Charlie Harper, who is a famous bird artist. And also we've just started working with Roger Torrey Peterson Estate for the bird, Roger Torrey Peterson, who did the bird books there.
Mm-hmm.
And David Sibley, who did the guidebooks. So we both use local artists, and we try to find nationally known artists who have art that will work for us. But t-shirts are something that will work really well on a t-shirt. Just takes a little bit of filtering to figure out the right art for that. So good design is good design.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And the artists, we pay our artist royalties. That's something Tom, our old owner, started from the very beginning. A lot of companies will buy a piece of art, and then the artist never gets anything more than that price.
Mm-hmm.
But we always reward our artists for every time we sell a shirt. The artist will get a royalty. So that, you know, if a design stays in our line for 25 years, like I said, that artist has gotten royalties for it for those 25 years. So we're always happy to express that as well. We want our artists to feel appreciated.
That's tremendous. I don't know that I've ever heard of that being done before. And that definitely follows with your aesthetics and your values. So that's great. So let's talk about you for one second. You said you're an artist and some of the designs are yours. What was your background in art? Were you trained in art and marketing, or a hybrid of both?
My training has all come on the job.
Mm.
So, I mean, I did art in high school. I started working Liberty Graphics, helping hang sheetrock. And then I transferred into the manufacturing process of making the screens and learning the art, the process of actually printing the shirts, all of the aspects of the business. And as that went along, because I had some art talent, I shifted into the art department and slowly worked my way up through the art department and ran the art department eventually. And then as marketing needs happened, I was crazy enough to take on more tasks and learn marketing and things like that. And just a lot of my marketing is from being here. I've been here for 30 years. So
wow.
I have a history of what works for Liberty Graphics. So that helps with the marketing part of it. So it's more of a homegrown talent. And we try to do that with the company, with all of our employees. We try to give them opportunity to grow, to just find new opportunities in the company and take advantage of their talents as best we can.
That's great. So you're located in
Liberty, Maine. Yep, the town of Liberty. The store is right down here, a couple doors down. So we're definitely the Midcoast, Maine, and all the way up to Blue Hill has always been a very full of people who like to do crafty and artsy things. So it allowed us to find a good set of employees that really enjoy the artistic side of it, because sometimes t-shirts isn't all about the money. It's sometimes about, you know, just having a job that you feel like you can create a nice product and share it with the world. So
and you do. It's a beautiful product. I proudly wear your artwork on my chest. And so do the artworks represented on the shirts ever develop a life of their own beyond shirts, or is it strictly on the shirts?
We sell some tea towels and things. We are doing a few stickers right now of a couple of our designs, but some of the art, like we do the Robert McCloskey Blueberries for Sal cover, and one of his image, Complete Image, and that's from the books. And so in that case, it had a life before we started putting it on a t-shirt. So we have the right to put it on a t-shirt, but we don't have the right to, you know, to do much more with it. But some of the art, we do often get requests for, like, somebody wanting something on a poster. But our process works on fabric. So we can print tea towels and things that you can pin up on your wall, but we are not really set up to print posters and stuff like that.
Sure.
And the process, one of the parts I enjoy most about my job is taking a piece of art, like for Common Ground every year, they get their new piece of art and I have to figure out how to translate it well onto fabric. So I achieve that. So it looks great on fabric. But luckily, I'm not responsible for making it look good on the poster. So we stick to fabric that way. So a lot of the art does have multi-purposes in the sense of, like, Mofka is using it for many different things, or the bird artists were taking art from a bird guide book. You know, it had a life before it got onto the t-shirt and stuff like that. So that's kind of where it is right now.
I've seen very creative uses of old t-shirt art. So people will wear the shirt to death and then take the front and make a quilt out of it.
Yeah, we've seen some of that. We want our images to outlast the t-shirt so that you can then continue using it. That's one of the qualities of the water-based ink also, is that it prints into the fabric. So some of the more plasticky things are on the surface and they'll flake off. You can tell it's not water-based, but the water-based will actually usually outlast the fabric of the shirt. So we're very happy with that longevity as well.
Yes. Well, do you ever do a call for designs, or do you sit around and brainstorm? I know you look for other art that fits your aesthetic, but do you ever see what you can mine out in the world?
Yes, that's as the art director, I'm always, always looking for new art. So it's a kind of a yearly cycle. We have a wholesale catalog that we're just printing now. So as soon as it goes to press, and even before, I'm looking for art for the next catalog. So we're always open to people submitting art, but then we have to go through the filter of, do we need a design of that subject matter? Will it look good on a t-shirt? Can we translate it well and be happy with the product? Like, I often see art that I really like, but I know that I can't put it onto a t-shirt and show it as well as it deserves. So we, you know, there's certain things about t-shirts that make certain types of images look really good on it and some that are harder to translate.
Mm-hmm.
It comes down to, we want to make sure also, if we go to that trouble and we get an artist very excited about something, that there's also a lot of customers out there who are going to buy it and be very happy with it, so that it's worth, you know, worth the trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And also worth the artist's time doing the art and things like that. But so we have kind of a balance of finding really great art and also having a really good purpose for it. So that's a filter that we go through constantly. So there's never a time when it's a bad time to send suggestions in. It just might take a year or two before it actually ends up on a t-shirt and is being successfully put out in the marketplace.
Sure. Well, what do you see in the future for Liberty Graphics? What do you see, any new kind of product line, or just keep on keeping on? How does it look to you?
We're trying to make sure that when we first bought the company, one of the things that we did was try to give ourselves a mission statement and a vision of the future.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to continue growing in the way that we are, printing nice t-shirts and tea towels and expanding the company enough that we can reward our employees and that we can have a good, safe work environment without adding on the stress of trying to be a $40 million company in a year. And, you know, so we've been trying to continue as we're going. One of those things is we've opened, in the past 5 years, we've opened two new stores. So we have our outlet store, and we opened a store in Portland about 15 years ago. But in the past, then we opened a store in Camden recently and just one in Freeport. So having stores where we're selling directly to the customer, our good main fan base, I like to think. Because we all get, it's very fun. I've sold shirts at the Common Ground Fair in our booth every year since 1991 or so. And it's great to hear people coming in and being like, my mother bought me this, or my grandmother bought this for my mother, and now I want to buy it, you know, for my kid. It's like, so we want to give the opportunity for the people to feel still the continuity of Liberty Graphics. And so we're opening these stores and trying to possibly be at more fairs and things so people can see us out here locally. And we've been continuing to expand our wholesale marketplace in a lot of parks and nature centers and butterfly houses, like all over the country. There's still more potential out there. So trying to grow in a sustainable way without doing it too severe. And the stores have helped, and our online have helped with that. But we're definitely still trying to focus on nice nature art, good quality nature art, and t-shirts as our primary focus, because it's worked well so far, and I think people are starting to recognize us once in a while, right?
I think so. So where can our Creative Maine listeners find you and Liberty Graphics? You mentioned a couple of brick and mortar stores in Liberty and Freeport and Portland
and Camden.
Camden. Yeah. Where else can they find you? Online?
We have a website called naturet-shirts.com. You can look us up there. And we have a Facebook page for each one of our stores and a general one. So you'll see us on Facebook and Instagram. We have one of our employees does a good job of posting the news about what's going on at Liberty Graphics on Instagram and Facebook. Try to keep people up to date.
And is that under Liberty Graphics or Nature T-Shirt?
NatureT-shirts.com is the website. And then on the social media, it should all be under Liberty Graphics.
Okay, great.
And also, when you're traveling about the country, you should see us in lots of nature centers, state parks, national parks, lots of places all over the country. And hopefully we get a lot of stories of people being like, oh, I saw this t-shirt. And I said, that was a Liberty Graphics t-shirt. Even if they're in Alaska somewhere, they go and look at it and they go, yep. Because we try to make a product and something that people can really recognize the quality, the heart and soul that we put into it.
So they see a little piece of home and feel proud.
Exactly. I would imagine.
Yeah, that's great. So if somebody wants to submit a design, do they contact you?
Yes. Anybody who'd like to submit art can send it to Sam at lgtees.com, which is lgtees.com. And if that doesn't work, you can contact us through one of the website things and I'll get back to you.
Great. Well, thank you so much. This has been a very interesting conversation. And we love Liberty Graphics artwork and the t-shirts you create. And so keep on keeping on. It's a piece of Maine that, as I say, we can all be proud of.
Thank you. We really appreciate everybody supporting us.
All right. Have a very successful year.
Thank you.
Creative Maine is alive with activities, presentations, workshops, concerts, and all manner of cultural endeavors. At this point in the show, we highlight a few of the many calendar items going on around the region. The Bangor Band will present the annual Harvest Concert on Sunday, November 2nd at 3 p.m. at Peaks Auditorium in Bangor. For more information about this free, family-friendly fall concert, visit bangorband.org. Also on Sunday, November 2nd, the Maine Songwriters Association will present the 15th Annual Songwriters Contest Winners Showcase at the Cadenza Listening Room, 5 Depot Street in Freeport at 4 p.m. For more information and tickets to the event, visit www.cadenzafreeport.com. Bay Chamber at 5 Mountain Street in Camden will be featuring two very different concerts in November. On Sunday, November 2nd at 4 p.m., the bluegrass band Stillwater will perform. And on Saturday, November 8th at 7 p.m., Bay Chamber will present Scottish group The Maxwell String Quartet. For more information, visit baychamber.org. For a more complete listing of events, visit our website, weru.org, and click the Community Calendar tab. If you would like to add an item to the community calendar, you may follow the prompts on the calendar page and submit your own event for the list. If you have an event that you feel is particularly pertinent to Creative Maine, send a note with the details to info@weru.org and list Creative Maine in the subject line. You are listening to Creative Maine on WERU 89.9 FM and on weru.org. Next, we discover a most creative baking business with Kat Jordan of Kitty Lamb. Okay, hello, Kat Jordan. Catherine, I'm so glad you're here. We had a bit of a time getting together, but I'm so glad we did. And you are the owner of Kitty Lamb, a creative and unusual baking mix business. And you and I met at the Common Ground Fair earlier this month, where you were selling boxes of brownie mix and other products. So please describe your business for us.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. So Kitty Lamb creates all certified organic from scratch baking mixes. So what that means is it's super elevated. You get separate pouches that include really unique ingredients like real liquid vanilla extract, really luxe fair trade chocolate, just kind of like different pouches to really elevate that home baking experience.
That's great. I know that your tagline, I loved this when you emailed me. It was with love and brownies.
Yes.
It's so much fun. So what else do you make, though? I know that you were giving samples at Common Ground and there were things that weren't brownies.
Yeah. So we increased our line a little bit. So we now we have a creamy lemon bar. We have a seasonal gooey pumpkin cake, which is out right now. We also, our two newest is our The Chocolate Cake with our silky chocolate frosting. Mm. But yeah, I love that sign off. I think it's so fun and it definitely like gets people's attention and, you know, a very corporate kind of jargon way when we're emailing big people. It's very funny to sign off with like with love and brownies. Like, people are definitely like, okay, like that's a lot.
It's a lot, but it kind of sets you apart. So
yeah, it lightens, you know, some of the seriousness of it all.
That's right. I mean, heck, it's just money. Who cares? Yeah. So what gave you the idea to box baking ingredients for an elevated style mix? And how are your mixes different from, say, King Arthur mixes or New England Cupboard? Or those are a couple of premium mixes I can think of.
What really kind of gave me the idea, it's a blend of two of my passions. So in the last few years, I got really into clean ingredients. So I wanted to create something that really included like super clean ingredients that also encouraged people when they went and made it at home to continue using clean ingredients. So you'll see we rarely use oil. We try and navigate more towards the use of butter. We encourage salted butter. A lot of unsalted butters add natural flavors. So we kind of did everything we can to make it so consumers can eat like a cleaner dessert. Mm-hmm. The other side of that is I love my desserts. So I just kind of blended the two. And that's kind of where really like the start of Kitty Lamb was. And then something that really takes us, you know, apart from, let's say, the competition is everyone is pretty much doing a one dry pouch. A lot of it is you add oil or you add water. And that's what we've had for years. The baking mix industry is a little bit stale in that regard. So I really wanted to elevate it and give the consumer at home like a from scratch experience. So for instance, our fudgy brownie, you get four separate pouches. So with that, you melt the luxe chocolate with butter, you whip sugar and eggs. You have a little pouch of that liquid vanilla extract. And then lastly, you have your dry pouch. And so most other baking mixes just have what we call like our pouch D, just that dry. So you're getting all of this other kind of all these other ingredients separated out so that you're really doing the from scratch aspect. And that's why, you know, people are always like, why are they so good? Like, what are you doing? And a lot of it really comes down to like the technique, just depending on the recipe, sometimes separating out that sugar or other aspects of a recipe is what really takes it from just like a one bowl mix to a really like homemade dessert.
So you're really allowing your customers to be creative.
Yes.
And not just lazy. No, I shouldn't say that. When you have a mix, it's a shortcut.
Yes.
But you're sort of taking that onus off of it. It's not so much of a shortcut.
So it's a little bit of a shortcut. So we joke. It's like a step more involved than like, say, your, you know, Betty Crocker, but it's not hard. So we've strayed from calling it like a kit because I think sometimes that sounds like complicated. So we really have kind of tried to lean into this like scrap, like from scratch mix, which is just like a, you know, just a little bit more than your just like one pouch mix.
Sure. So people don't have to source the flour and the baking powder and the baking soda.
Exactly. And it depends on each one. So like, for instance, for our lemon, we have a hyper focus on those clean ingredients. So for the lemon, instead of adding like natural lemon flavor, you add your own two fresh lemons at home. So people have been really receptive of that because they're like, oh, of course, I don't want to, you know, a chemical artificial lemon thing in there. I'd totally rather add my own two fresh lemons. So they're all kind of different. They're all their own unique journey for each mix. But as a whole, definitely just like a kind of like a handhold to do it from scratch.
Sure. And I guess for example, with the brownie, I guess people could get creative, and if they wanted to throw chips or nuts or something in there, they could do that.
Exactly. And that's kind of like, we always say, like, all of our recipes are kind of just like the perfect base recipe. And then we encourage people to like make it their own. We love hearing everyone, you know, always tells us what they, you know, what their mix-in is. And of course we try to be better about it. We do have one recipe out for the brownie, which is like a cheesecake variation. We did it for one event, like one selling event, and it went over so well. It's so indulgent. Not that our brownie needs to be more indulgent, but if you're in the mood for it, it is like the most decadent kind of addition to it.
Your brownies are really decadent. They're super fudgy and creamy. Yeah, they're terrific. So marketing, let's talk about marketing for a minute. Marketing is an extremely creative outlet. We have on this show also Sam Bartlett, who is in charge of marketing for Liberty Graphics Tees. I have done a lot of marketing in my day, and I consider it a very creative endeavor. So how do you do it, and how are you going to market now for the holiday season that we're on the brink of?
Yeah, so this is always a little bit of a tough one for us. As a really like small business, we're just, you know, two people, then of course our marketing budget is very small at this point too. So we do really have to get creative and in a lot of ways use some free kind of marketing ways. So we try and focus a lot on, you know, meaningful content, whether that's through social media or our emails, always sharing like our new product drops. We do a birthday sale every year, which is really fun for people. And just like we were talking about, kind of sharing some more recipes. Right now, we're actually working on putting together our first giveaway, which is exciting. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of big ideas, and I'm excited in the future to make those a reality. But for now, we kind of rely honestly a lot on kind of the old school way, word of mouth. Get a lot of traffic that way just because people are having such positive experiences. They want to gift it to someone else. Yeah, it's always creative trying to do it on a very minimal budget.
Did you notice an uptick as a result of Common Ground?
Well, so this is our third year doing Common Ground, and it's actually really cool because each year, you know, the return is even greater. We see so many of the same familiar faces, and it's so nice, and people are excited. I think every year we've had a new product for it as well within that year. So people get to see what's new. Oh, I'll try this. So it's always been positive for us. But definitely it's really cool to see like people come darting to us and they're like, oh, I got this last year. I need to get more. And that's so rewarding. And that tells us, you know, we did our homework, that we made a good enough product that, you know, people remember it and it's on their list to carry around all day.
So when you were saying you were going to do a giveaway, through what platform is that going to be?
Yeah. So we are going to do it through Instagram for our first one. Mm-hmm. It's not something, you know, like I said, it's our first one. We don't have much experience. We recently hit 1,000 followers on Instagram, which is super exciting for us. So I wanted to do a little something to give back, and yeah, we'll have something really nice for the winner.
So it's at Kitty Lamb?
Yeah, so it's at @KittyLamb_official, and details will be posted shortly.
That's great. So what in your background or your partner's background prepared you for running a baking mix business?
Yeah, it's funny because truthfully, nothing. we come from totally different backgrounds. When I had started this, I, you know, obviously really cared about the clean ingredient side of it. But at the core, like, you know, my family will tell you, I just loved a sweet treat. I was always in charge of dessert. Like that was my claim to fame. But I think what, you know, has been really cool about doing this with no background in a CPG, marketing, you know, finance, none of it, is that it's in a way kind of benefited us to not know like what the right step is on paper, because I think that's why we're so different from a lot of the other, you know, people in our category, is we're not that traditional, like craft brown paper bag, you know, simple mix. We really are something so kind of far out there. And that I think is from like not really doing what everyone else is doing because we just had no interest in like doing what, you know, maybe we were supposed to do. So even, you know, down to our packaging, it's super funky. People are always like, oh my gosh, it's so fun. Like just something really different for the category, way more playful than it has been. And I think what's cool as well is it's getting, you know, a different kind of crowd back into baking and back into mixes as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, supposed to do in air quotes, right?
Yes.
So you obviously consider each hand-packaged box its own little work of art. You were telling me that you do all the pouches and all the packaging one at a time by hand.
We really do. Yeah. It's interesting because it really is a labor of love at this point in time. I mean, we dream of machinery, but again, the reality of a small business is we've, you know, been doing this entirely by hand. But what's nice about that, it gives us a ton of control in terms of inventory. And, you know, we really have very minimal waste as a result of it because we can control exactly how much we want to produce at a certain time. Mm-hmm. Definitely. I absolutely consider it a work of art. I was actually, you know, I think of like a famous painting, right? And you've got prints of the paintings, right, that people can resell, of course. And so that's kind of like our recipe. So we've got this one famous brownie recipe, and then we sell like a print, like a box mix of how to, you know, go home and do it yourself. So a little piece you can take of this one famous recipe. But what's nice about that is we kind of get to come off the page, right? So when we go home with someone, they get to make it. It's more of an experience than, of course, just a print. And you get to make it with loved ones, friends and family, and you get to eat it. And it just, it really comes to life. Yeah, it's definitely art. It's its own way of art. But edible art is just as exciting.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So what do you see in the future for Kitty Lamb?
Yeah, so I mean, thinking forward for Kitty Lamb is always exciting to us, even to see how far we've grown thus far. So we have so many exciting things ahead. So we have some iconic drops coming out of some more cakes and frosting combinations that we've been working on. We're also working on some more collaborations. So that's really exciting.
What do you mean by collaboration?
Yeah, so we're going to be working with one in particular that we're super pumped about is actually with Maple Syrup Company. So we're going to be doing a collab with them for a mix. Yeah, so just so many kind of new products, new exciting, yeah, just drops. And with kind of the expansion of our cake and frosting line, it's nice because you're going to be able to mix and match. So we've done them separately, the cake and frosting, that people can kind of choose their own adventure. So when we do have more than just our double chocolate right now, you can kind of create your own cake versus frosting combo. Okay. And we're also excited to be expanding like our retail presence. So we're always growing and, you know, trying to really, yeah, show up in more states for people all across.
Very exciting. Very exciting. Okay. So where can our Creative Maine listeners find you and Kitty Lamb products?
Absolutely. So you can find us at kittylamb.com and you can join our email list to stay up to date on all things Kitty Lamb. Like I mentioned earlier, our Instagram is kittylamb_official. And then, of course, please go shop us at your local stores. We're in a lot of natural food stores right now. To name a few, we're in all the Rosemont markets. Portland Food Co-op is a favorite of ours. And then, of course, natural food stores up and down the coast. We've got Royal River, Morning Glory. We are definitely near you. So please go shop us.
Very good. Well, thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate it. It was so much fun to meet you and to taste your delicious products. And keep on with the creativity. I think it's fantastic.
Thank you so much. And thank you so much for having me and for giving me the opportunity to talk about Kitty Lamb.
Excellent. Well, have a great holiday season.
Thank you. You too.
Thanks.
Creative Maine is here at the Rusted Rooster at the Common Ground Fair. And the Rusted Rooster has flowers and grains and things that they do with those grains. So I'm here with Sean O'Donnell, and he is going to talk to us a little bit about what they do. Sean, tell us about some of your products and the creative things you do with them.
Well, we enjoy growing certified organic regenerative grains, and come to find out it's a little harder to sell those in really large volumes, and you have to get a little creative with how you handle that out to the consumer to try and keep a farm afloat nowadays. So we've turned to more, we're milling small. We have a stone mill on the farm. We mill 2-pound bags all the way to 50-pound bags. We handle, I think, around 7 or 8 varieties of wheat, as well as oats, corn, buckwheat, rye. We have barley, beans, peas. I have a grain cleaning facility where I can clean most any grains, dried grains and beans to food grade. We are also making Maine-made corn chips. We grow the corn. We sell the corn to Pechanga Tortilla in Portland. She makes the tortillas. We buy the tortillas back. We fry them in sunflower oil that we also grow and expeller press on the farm.
Oh, wow.
And that's kind of our popular product here at the fair. But we also do things like garlic. We grow a lot of seed garlic, and we grind up the smalls into garlic powder, so we are able to take care of that excess. We also will grind all the waste grains off of our products into animal feed.
Uh-huh.
And we have animals on the farm as well. We rotate our grain ground into hay ground, so that we try and only have our ground tilled up about a third of the time. So we'll do grains for 5 years and then hay for 10 years to try and help build our soil for healthy rotations.
So that takes a lot of creativity to have what amounts to zero waste.
Yes, it does. We've worked really hard to try and close the loop as much as we can. And
can you explain, there's a couple of grain varieties that I haven't really heard of, and I am a baker. But a Glen Flour and Turkey Red, are those varieties of wheat?
Yes, so we're selling the wheat according to the variety of wheat itself. A lot of these varieties have different flavors and characteristics that people can get attached to. Most people just think of flour as, oh, let's go to the store and get a bag of flour. But it's all made out of, the bigger outfits will blend a lot of it and try and standardize as much as possible. We're trying to get away from that. Trying to have a product that people know where it's grown, where it was handled, what it is, and after they get like that taste of that bread and say, oh, that was really good bread, what did we do to make that, right? I can say, oh, well, we made that out of this flour and it tastes a certain way, you know. A lot of them have different proteins, so they'll have different characteristics. If you have cookies, you want to make cookies and muffins, it's probably going to be a slightly different protein level or possibly variety than if you want to make pizza, you know?
Of course, right.
So a lot of these different wheats that we grow will fit well into a different role, a specific role.
Sure.
And then it's a little more of a custom tailored to whatever you're baking.
So I tasted sourdough made with the Glen flour,
yeah,
and it was unbelievable. So is that a whole grain?
So everything we do is whole wheat, stone ground. Most of our small bags, actually all the small bags, we sift some of the large chunks of bran. So we sift about 10% of the 10% of the flour, which was the large chunks of bran that start. They can mess with your gluten composition, and your loaves could cave. So we do that just for bakeability ease. There's still a bunch of bran. Any ground bran that we can get ground up small enough to go through the sifting sieve stays in. So it's still whole wheat flour. But we just kind of do that for workability and standardization.
Do you have proprietary recipes?
No, we're happy to share whatever recipes we have. I'll level with you. We didn't bake the sourdough bread. We have a really good friend that's a really good baker that baked the bread for us. It works out great. We give her flour, and she gives us bread back. And then all summer, we don't have to bake. We can be busy farming. So
love it. So the Common Ground Fair will have come and gone by the time this show goes up. So where can our Creative Maine listeners find you and Rusted Roost Farm?
So we have a website, rustedroosterfarm.com. We list all the products that are for sale there. We have a farm stand that's open 24/7. Parkman, Maine, which is the Maine Highlands, Dexter, Dover, Foxcroft area, on your way to Moosehead Lake.
Got it.
We are in some stores. We don't have anybody carrying our entire array of products yet, but some stores carry something. Some store other, the notable would be Tiller and Rye and Brewer, Emery's Meat Market and Brewer, the Natural Living Center.
In Bangor,
correct. Right. Tipped Trailer in Newport. The Exeter store in Exeter. Misty Brook Farm is also they are distributing our products. So they'll start to pop up in other stores around. I put them in charge of distributing outside of those areas where I just mentioned because we ran
out of them. But a customer could order on your website.
So yes, we haven't quite straightened out our shipping yet. So hopefully over the winter we will, but it's definitely available for order and pickup.
Well, great. Well, thank you so very much for talking with me, and I hope the fair is really successful for you. It's a delicious product.
Well, thank you very much, and we appreciate coming here to share our products.
I am at the Common Ground Fair this morning at the Maine Metalcraft booth, and I am looking at an assemblage of absolutely beautiful ovens, grills, and fire pits, and other amazing things. So I am here with
Scott Barden,
and he is the
owner of Maine Oven Craft and Maine Metalcraft.
Awesome. And you're out of Skowhegan, is that right? That's wonderful. And tell me a little bit about the making of some of these lovely tools and what it is that you make and how you do it.
For the past 25 years, we've been building wood-fired pizza ovens as our primary revenue source within a company that was started by my parents back in 1978 called Maine Wood Heat. Just this past year, we rebranded to Maine Oven Craft as a way to kind of really cement our identity within the oven making world. But in particular, we import a line of oven cores, which is fired brick from France, of a very pure clay and a very specific rare origin. And then we bring those in and we combine them with metal designs that we've come up with here, and where we fabricate from start to finish, from stick and sheet all the way through to these complete centerpieces that either become centerpieces in backyards, centerpieces in restaurants, or focal points at a wedding for a catering application. And then Maine Metalcraft is our offshoot sort of organic sleeper company that we started as a way to kind of keep our folks busy who already are skilled in the metal realm, utilizing the same equipment, the same folks, but also giving us a way to kind of diversify and keep things exciting, and you know, bring different new sort of alternative projects and challenges through the door.
That's great. So I see that. Oh boy, the core of the oven. Wow. The core of the oven is from France, the clay and so forth. But how do you craft the beautiful copper and other metal outsides and, you know, working parts?
Yeah, I mean, it all starts with design. I started with 3D design maybe 25 years ago. And our very first copper dome was a collaboration with a local copper artist in the Norridgewock area named Barry Norling, who's in his early 80s now and has since stopped making copper for us. But it was really the catalyst for us to see that there was a market for a turnkey sort of value-added solution in addition to the core that we were bringing in. Because at the time, back in the early 2000s, we were just selling cores, or we were combining that with our masonry skills, but we didn't do any metal work. So the copper was the beginning for us, and ultimately we could see that traditional Roman, you know, hemispherical dome form was very popular because it mimicked the shape of the oven inside. And from that, we've kind of branched off as our metalworking skills and capabilities have increased, to create other forms, not a ton, but a couple other forms. And it allows us to play with Corten steel, weathering steel, stainless. We've started really experimenting with custom painted finishes. And really for us in our shop, I mean, we're a full service metalworking facility, but our focus is ovens. And so everything that we have for an oven that ends up as a final product, it either begins as a stick or a sheet in the flat and gets transformed into these realities, whether it's this one, which we call the Bigelow, or that one, which now the Allagash. You know, we have the ability to roll metal, form metal. We have CNC cutting capability, which really dovetails well with my design background. So if you can literally design it and then convert it to a flat 2D pattern, the machine can cut it. And then we bring it back into 3D again in multiple pieces.
They're beautiful. They're absolutely stunning. The design is spectacular. Tell me a little bit about this. It looks like a hibachi-style grill, is it?
Yeah. I mean, it's a collapsible flat pack fire pit grill combo, essentially. And it was inspired by a company out in Wisconsin, which had created their own rendition that I met last year at a trade show. And I like to see designs and see what I can do to make them different and improve them. And so my iteration actually utilizes a pattern on the grill, which is really a no-catch pattern for a spatula. You can come in almost any direction. But this was actually inspired by a Finnish from Finland cooktop design that we learned back in our masonry heating era, which was a way for it to capture heat. So it doesn't really have any relevance in terms of capturing heat, but I like to be inspired by designs that I've seen in other places, and if they're for a similar application, can I adapt them? But this is a really cool, I mean, it's, you can see it over there, it breaks down into a flat package. It's heavy and it's dense, but it's super durable. It has an integrated heat shield, so it doesn't burn the table that it's sitting on. And for us, we've not really marketed it. I always have been in love with the process of taking something from thought to design to actually building it out into something real and then playing with it. And so we've just been using these. I get actually probably given away 20 of them in the past year and a half to friends who I know would use them and like them. And we've been playing with it in our backyard. But it's a great way to enjoy a fire. And, you know, we actually have it on our picnic table at home. And it is hibachi style. Like we cook right next to where we're eating and take it off.
It would make herringbone shaped grill marks on your steak.
Exactly. Yes.
That's awesome. So can you tell our Creative Maine listeners where they can find your companies? Yep. And how they can get in contact with you?
Yeah. So we have two websites. Maine Oven Craft, as it relates to ovens, maineovencraft.com is our oven side of the business. And then mainemetalcraft.com is our architectural metal side of the business that creates these wonderful pieces of bird art, this collapsible hibachi-style fire pit and grill. And my name is Scott Barden. I'm the second-generation owner of both companies.
Very good. Well, thank you so much for your time. That's wonderful.
We're in Skowhegan, Maine, too.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. It's all about Maine here at the Common Ground Fair. So thank you so much for your time. This is well, okay. I'm at the Common Ground Fair here at the Morritt Hill Farm booth, and I'm talking to Josh Emmerman, the proprietor, and he is going to tell me a bit about his business and what he does, and maybe a word or two about what he used to do and the transition. Josh, what's going on?
So my partner Elizabeth and I own Morritt Hill Farm, where we raise Icelandic sheep for their fiber, for their meat, for breeding stock, and we also run a small fiber mill where we process all of our wool into yarn and knit hats. We also process wool for 50 or so other farms around the state. And outside the state. We're here at the fair selling yarn and knit hats and sheepskins. And
you have a very interesting rug weaving setup over there. What are you doing with that?
So it's a simple peg loom where we're weaving a coarse spun rug yarn that we make in the mill. That yarn's actually a byproduct of our mill. Every batch that comes through, a little bits get sucked up in a vacuum system that we have. And it's not enough that any individual customer wants it back. So we save it up, reprocess it into this coarse spun yarn, and then weave it into these really nice wool mats.
They're beautiful. What's the core?
It's a cotton core. It's actually a mop yarn.
Oh, well, that's fun.
Yeah.
Tell me, where is Morritt Hill Farm?
We're in Troy, Maine. We're just about 10 minutes away from Common Ground.
Wow. Well, that's convenient. So tell me a little bit. I met you under very different circumstances. What did you used to do?
Yeah, so when we started the farm, we were growing mushrooms. We grew mushrooms indoors year-round for 5 or 6 years. It's a hard business.
Hard way to make a living.
It's a hard way to make a living. The nice thing about wool and knit products and fiber processing is it's not nearly as perishable.
No, definitely not. Well, it's absolutely beautiful, different colors of Icelandic. Do you also sell the raw materials, or you just put it all into the mill?
We process everything that we produce on the farm, yeah. Yeah, either mostly into yarn and then into the hats as well.
So how can our Creative Maine listeners find Morritt Hill Farm?
We're online, morritthillfarm.com, M-O-O-R-I-T. we have most everything up on our website for sale. We will be at Common Ground, the Maine Fiber Frolic, and then we do the Blue Hill Farmers Market once a month.
Very good. Well, thank you for talking to me, and have a wonderful fair.
Thank you. Yeah, enjoy yourself.
Thank you so much to my lovely guests, Sam Bartlett, Kat Jordan, Josh Emmerman, Scott Barden, and Sean O'Donnell. And sincere and many thanks to Jim Joy, tech guru extraordinaire, without whom this episode would not have been possible. Our theme music is composed and performed by Ariel Chapman. If you have questions or comments for me or any of our guests, please send them to info@weru.org. Please write Creative Maine in the subject line. Please join Creative Maine at WERU 89.9 FM or on WERU.org for another eclectic episode on Thursday, November 16th at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, when we will learn about the phenomenon of public art in Maine. Thank you so much for listening. This is Adina Salmonson, wishing you a wonderful month of the arts and crafts that enrich your life and bring you joy.